Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q2 FY23 conference call of Trucar Finance Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touchtone phone. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Anuj Sonpal from Valorem Advisors. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone, and a very warm welcome to you all. My name is Anuj Sonpal from Valorem Advisors. We represent the investor relations of Trucar Finance Limited, erstwhile Dhanvar Shakti Invest Limited. On behalf of the company, I'd like to thank you all for participating in the company's earnings call for the second quarter of financial year 2023. Before we begin, let me mention a short cautionary statement. Some of the statements made in today's con call may be forward-looking in nature. Such forward-looking statements are subject to risks and uncertainties which could cause actual results to differ from those anticipated. Such statements are based on management's beliefs as well as assumptions made by and information currently available to management. Audiences are cautioned not to place any undue reliance on these forward-looking statements in making any investment decisions. The purpose of today's earnings call is purely to educate and bring awareness about the company's fundamental business and financial quarter under review. Now let me introduce you to the management participating with us in today's earnings call and hand it over to them for opening remarks. We firstly have with us Mr. Rohanjit Juneja, Managing Director and Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Sanjay Kukreja, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Mahendra Sadeja, Chief of Credit and Risk, Mr. Sumit Khanna, Digital Credit and Product, and Mr. Gaurav Bhargava, Head of Gold and Branch Business. Without any further delay, I request Mr. Rohanjit Juneja to start with his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Anuj, and welcome to all participants in joining our fiscal 2Q23 earnings call. We are pleased to announce robust disbursement growth of 34% year-over-year to 1.98 billion, up from 1.63 billion in June 2022 and 1.49 billion a year ago, led by MSME gold and business loans. This has resulted in revenues rising 103% year-over-year to 305 million and earnings for the first half of the year growing 96% to 380 million rupees versus 193 million rupees in the first half of last year. Our loan book at the end of September was 4.54 billion, up 92% over the last one year and up 15% quarter-over-quarter. The product composition of our loan book today is 47% in MSME gold loans, 45% in MSME business loans, 5% in loan against property, which is in runoff mode, and 3% in personal loans. Customer count, which was 1,318 customers in September 2020 and 24,800 customers in September 2021, is up to 57,150 borrowers at September end, up a staggering 4,336% in the last two years and up 130% in the last one year. Importantly, we have disbursed more than 22,500 loans in the quarter, averaging close to 300 loans per working day with an average ticket size of roughly 88,000 rupees per loan. As a matter of great pride for the organization, we recently achieved a big milestone of disbursing more than 10 billion rupees in loans since inception to over 107,000 borrowers. This growth has been built on a solid risk management framework where asset quality and concentration risk are not compromised, rather strengthened to ensure growth with diversification and profitability. Of the total 10 billion rupees disbursed in over 107,000 loan accounts, more than 46,000 customers have already paid back and closed loans worth 4.73 billion. In the MSME gold loan vertical, our team has disbursed more than 5.62 billion to over 52,000 borrowers. NPAs in the MSME gold loan book are very low at 30 basis points, and gold taken to auction are less than 20 million for less than 200 customers, representing 35 basis points of cumulative disbursements. It is noteworthy that we have recovered more than 100% of the due amount from gold sold in auctions and refunded excess recovery of principal plus interest to borrowers. Similarly, in business loans, we have disbursed more than $3.25 billion to over 39,000 borrowers while writing off a minor $0.7 million or 0.02% of cumulative disbursements in this portfolio. The cumulative disbursement of $8.9 billion between gold and business loans, which is the predominant focus of the company, has resulted in gross NPAs of 1.19%, which is extremely resilient in our view. How did we do this? I think it's important to recap and give some color on how TrueCap has successfully navigated and grown through the ILNFS and COVID crisis despite its nascent size and young existence. From September 2018 onwards, the company recalibrated strategy to focus on small ticket business loans to retail cash and carry businesses, or what we call essential goods segments. At first, we focused on 22 different sectors that were categorized as essential goods, and lending to these sectors comprised 26% of total AUM in fiscal 20. These sectors essentially were retail shops catering to home needs like hardware, electrical stores, plumbers, tailors, retail furniture shops, etc., textiles and apparel stores, education, FMCG, food and drink, information technology, e-commerce, kirana and general stores, and medical stores. From June 2020 onwards, we narrowed down these sectors further, where the credit team categorically avoided those sectors that were affected due to the pandemic. The focus of lending was strategically shifted to those sectors within essential goods where there was visibility in business continuity and growth. We did not lend to any borrowers that defaulted during COVID or that had applied for a moratorium. This was a subjective call taken by the credit team on a case-to-case basis. Amongst other things, our in-house credit team also made changes in the appraisal process by assessing cases on banking habits rather than simply relying on DSCR and IT returns of borrowers. Today, lending to these essential goods sectors comprise 60% of total AUM, which has placed us in very good stead as these vintages have matured. Going forward, we will continue to drill down in lending to these small businesses in these sectors. Furthermore, as a way to make the balance sheet more capital efficient, as highlighted in previous forums, lending to these essential goods sectors through lending as a service, or LAS, will continue to be emphasized. Lending as a service is when TrueCap leverages its distribution prowess to serve as a minority capital provider, but performs the entire sourcing, servicing, and collection function for large financial institutions. Our LAS book today is up to 20% of AUM from 12% in the previous quarter and less than 1% a year ago. In absolute numbers, LAS is up to almost 900 million rupees of our 4.55 billion AUM. Notably, the majority of our LAS book has been originated for one partner today in an 80-20 partnership where we are originating between 200 to 250 million a month. Happy to tell you that we have recently tied up with two other partners for our LAS business in the MSME business loan and gold loan product. One, a large NBFC in a 90-10 co-lending module, and the other one, a small finance bank for a 100% BC module. As we continue to scale up our distribution muscle, both in digital and the experiential center channel, which today stands at 61 branches, but will be closer to 75 by February 2023, we are fairly confident of doing more than 700 to 800 million a month just for these large financiers in coming quarters. Now, I would let my colleague Gaurav Bhargava provide some more color on our expansion of experiential centers in his comments.
Thanks, Rohan. Good evening to all the participants. In quarter 2 FY23, we have disbursed close to INR 1.5 billion in MSME gold loans, of which close to 680 million was disbursed for one of our last partners, up from 460 million in the previous quarter. This quarterly run rate represents roughly 8 million of gross disbursals per branch per month, which we endeavor to take up approximately 10 to 11 million per branch per month, especially as we embark on large relationships in lending as a service for big financial service institutions. The quality of the book remains pristine with extremely low GNPAs of 5.9 million rupees or just 0.28%, 18 loans out of a total active customer base of 19,475. Loans taken into auction until September 22 amount to a very modest 18.9 million, where we have received 107% of the principal plus interest demanded in auction. This signifies the point that valuation of gold, even for the auction pool, was fairly conservative, as the amount received during auction was more than that demanded. This 18.9 million pool auctioned is 0.35% of the overall gross disbursals done till September 22. With regards to process and controls, we have a dedicated team of 4 internal controls employees who visit or audit the branch network at a random unannounced frequency. During their visit, they do a 100% audit of gold jewelry kept in the packets, along with 100% loan documentation, release documents, and any other process-related documents. Our branches are covered with 24/7 CCTV monitoring. Hence, the auditor also checks the customer presence in the branch at the time of pledge and release of ornaments. In the audit checklist, we have a comprehensive list of 130 audit points divided across 12 processes. These audit points are further segregated between high, medium, and low risk criteria and further derives the audit rating of the branch. The internal control team is an independent vertical and reports into the audit head, who further reports into the MD and CEO of the organization. On our expansion plans, over the last 2.5 years, we have kept spreading our branch footprint across the states of Maharashtra, Delhi NCR, Goa, and Madhya Pradesh. By March 2022, we were at 37 experiential centers, and as we speak today, we are at 61 live experiential centers set up across 26 cities, towns, across these 4 states. Our geographic presence is structured around a cluster-based approach, and in our current expansion plans, we are opening 5 to 6 branches in the Kutch belt of Gujarat by December 22. We have also made further inroads in Maharashtra, where we are planning to add another 7 branches by December 2022. All these locations are finalized and manpower onboarding is in process. This would take our experiential center count up to 75 by March 2023. Post this build out, more than 65% of our experiential centers presence would be in the tier 2, 3, 4 towns, where there is a great untapped potential to be encashed, as these towns are surrounded by 30 to 40 nearby villages. That's where we see the best opportunity to serve the underserved and the underpenetrated market, which forms the core of India too. This widespread distribution network, especially in the rural areas, will enable us to cater to even larger relationships in lending as a service for big financiers. Now handing it back to Rohan.
Thank you, Gaurav. Lastly, coming on to our balance sheet, asset quality and risk. Our debt-to-equity ratio today is 1.5x, providing substantial headroom for growth. Our capital will go a much longer way, led by scalable and sustainable lending as a service, which is materially profitable and capital efficient for TrueCap's balance sheet. Gross NPAs in the quarter improved to 2.8% versus 3.06% in the previous quarter. I think it's important to break down gross NPAs product-wise, since in our total gross NPA pool of 2.8%, almost 60% of NPAs come from our LAP and personal loan portfolio, which is 8% of total loan exposure. These two portfolios are in runoff mode. Within the LAP NPA bucket, the majority is attributable to 10 accounts, which is down from 12 accounts in the previous quarter. And we're in the process of resolution on all these 10 accounts. If we exclude LAP and personal loans from the NPA mix, gross NPAs on our focused loan book of MSME gold and MSME business loans, which is 93% of AUM, would have been approximately 1.2%. To give some more granularity, product-wise gross NPAs in MSME business loans were 2.14%, while gross NPAs in business loans were 0.28%. Now, we're finished with our prepared remarks and we'd like to hand over the call for questions.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may enter star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Anyone who has a question may enter star and one. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question is from the line of Yogita Rathore, an individual investor. Please go ahead. Ms. Yogita Rathore, could you please unmute your audio and go ahead with your question?
Hello?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
Go ahead, please.
Can you talk about how the company...
Sorry to interrupt. Ms. Rathore, if you're on a speaker mode, can you switch to handset mode and speak? We can't hear you clearly.
Am I audible?
It's a little better. You can go ahead.
Yeah. Good evening, sir. So my question is, can you talk about how does the company compete from the banks and the new fintech entering into the gold loans, offering loans at cheaper rates? And when do we plan to get into digital lending of loans?
So to answer your second question first, when do we get into digital lending? The idea for us is to enhance the lending experience by including more and more of a digital experience for our customers. Will we be an end-to-end digital player? The answer to that is no. We will use technology as a significant enabler in reducing the turnaround time, enhancing productivity, and getting a lot more scale in our business for both the business loan and the gold loan product. So that's the answer to your second question. On the answer to your first question, while there certainly is competition from banks and other NBFCs, I think we have carved a niche for ourselves in the geographies that we do operate in, specifically in the five states that we have targeted. We have a very cluster-focused approach in where we are opening branches and actually tying up with these larger financiers in lending as a service and partnering with them in helping reach the last mile customer and credit inclusion for the last mile customer. So it's actually a more collaborative approach. In fact, in this past quarter, we have seen competition decline somewhat in the market, especially in the two products that we operated.
Okay. Thank you. Also, I had a second question. What is the payback period when you open a branch? Like with around 59 branches open in north and west of India, what is the break-even point for the branches and how many have already reached break-even?
So I would not like to give you a specific number in terms of break-even, but I can tell you that the usual break-even, especially as we tie up with larger financiers and lending as a service, that time frame has gotten shorter to about 6 to 8 months. And the second question you had was? So of the 59 branches, about 34 to 35 have broken even.
Can you repeat, please?
Of the 59 branches that we have today, 34 to 35 have broken even.
Okay, great.
Thank you.
I have one more follow-up question regarding this. Like, what is the target AUM that the management is targeting? And if you can give some insight, what shall be the optimum product mix that you're looking at the target AUM level?
So we would not like to give specific guidance on the AUM number for fiscal year end. I think, you can derive for yourself, we're at about 455 crores at the end of September with another 6 months to go for our disbursement trajectory with the number of branches that we have. That's one. Number two is the optimal mix for us in the two products that we are growing today. The two products together are 93%. The gold loan product is 48% and the business loan product is 45% in terms of AUM, managed AUM. I think those numbers would stay where they are. We plan to do it around 50-50 or a 55-45.
So the largest mix would be coming from?
So larger mix in terms of AUM would be business loans, just because business loans stay on your book for longer. Gold has a much faster churn, and the duration of those loans on gold are much shorter on your loan book.
Okay, so going forward, it could be the same.
Sorry, I couldn't hear you. Going forward?
So going forward, we would target it at the same level.
Correct.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to our participants, if you wish to ask a question, you may enter star and one. The next question is from the line of Samir, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. My first question is that our borrowing cost seems to have increased this quarter. So could you highlight the reasons for the same?
The borrowing cost increase in the quarter due to the repo rate hikes that were done by the RBI. So in the last 6 months, the RBI has raised the repo by about 190 basis points. So, and that was clearly passed on to us as well from our lenders. So that's the reason the borrowing cost for us went up from 11.93 to 12.3% in the quarter.
Okay, sir. And another question that I have is that our capital adequacy ratio has declined on a half-yearly basis. So what's the reason for the same?
Capital adequacy has declined and it's still very healthy though at almost 40%. The reason being that the book has grown fairly well. What we are doing now, if you look at our disbursements in the previous quarter as well, of the 198 crores, 68 crores came from the co-lending partnership where we don't provide too much capital. 80% of the capital is provided by a large financial institution. Progressively now we're doing between 20 to 25 crores a month with them, and we're looking to tie up with more such partners so the balance sheet will become more capital efficient, which means that we will contribute less capital towards every incremental rupee of disbursement that we will be making. So while the capital adequacy has come down because we've grown nicely, it's still extremely healthy at 40%. Please do also remember that there's another infusion of about 28 crores that has yet to come into the company in the form of equity for conversion of warrants into equity shares, which is until November of 2023. So from that standpoint, we are at an extremely comfortable position, and we plan to grow the majority of our book now in co-lending partnerships with larger financiers, which makes our business model even more capital light.
Okay, sir. And also, could you please throw some light on the fees and the commission advisory service income, which also seems to have increased on quarter to quarter basis?
Yeah, so, you know, as we grow our branch count as well and the digital distribution engine, fee income for us will continue to grow as well. You know, as we've had our evolution and now are becoming slightly bigger, there's more cross-sell income, fee income, commission income coming into the model as well from insurance and other services.
Okay, sir. And one last question that I have is that I would like to know that what is the net interest margin for Q2 FY23 and what would be your outlook for the entire FY23?
The net interest margin is just under 9% for this for the quarter that went by, Q2 2023. And going forward, we expect between an 8 to 10% margin. That's largely led by, you know, NIM accretion by these lending as a service partnerships, albeit, of course, we have to take into account that the repo rate hike has also, made the funding cost go up. Otherwise, you would have seen the margin go up more. So what we're guiding for is between an 8 to 10% net interest margin for the rest of the fiscal year.
Okay, yeah, that's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone who has a question may enter star and one. The next question is from the line of Vikas Mehta, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yes, sir. If you could just throw some more light on the co-lending partnership. I remember in the last quarter you mentioned there are 4 active discussions, and currently you mentioned there are 2 active co-lending partnerships in which you are discussing. If you could just throw more light on it, the ratio, and how is it going to be majorly focused on? And at the end of FY23, what would be the ratio? How much would be coming from the off-the-balance sheet item and on-the-balance sheet item?
So the at this point in time, we have one large active co-lending relationship with the PSU bank. We have signed up two other relationships, one with an NBFC for the business loan product, one with a small finance bank in a BC partnership. So that's not a co-lending partnership, but a BC partnership for gold. We're also in discussions with a few others, and we hope for some of them to materialize. Obviously, we'll have to be fairly careful with how many partners we tie up with, because it has to be a very calibrated and focused approach per branch, per partner. So that is something that we are deeply focused on. We had guided earlier in the year that by the end of March 2023, these co-lending partnerships, or lending as a service, AUM as we call it, will be about 20% of AUM by March 2023. We are already at 20% of AUM in September. Would not want to give a specific number as to where we would be as a percentage of AUM by March 2023, but needless to say, it will be well above the 20% number where we are right now.
Okay. And so what is the BC model which you mentioned with into the gold loan, if you could just brief on that?
So we would largely use our distribution engine to source business for a bank, where 100% of the loan would be put onto the bank's balance sheet while we get a fee for what we're doing for the bank, which is largely on sourcing, servicing, and collecting on the gold loans.
Okay. And lastly, sir, Dhan Setu went live, I believe, in the month of April, May. So how has that been? Have you seen the number of customer increase from Dhan Setu? Can you just give me a good breakup there?
Sure. So Dhan Setu, we've seen decent traction. Dhan Setu is predominantly sourcing loans for us in the business loan category. So we have seen steady progress, slow and steady progress on that platform. And we're being fairly calibrated in how many loans come into the platform versus what goes into the back end and the output as to how much we want to disperse on a monthly basis. So we have selectively opened it up in particular pin codes, not open it up all over. The reason being that we want to write the majority of these business loans also in the geographies that we have a physical presence in. So it makes collections much easier for us.
Okay, and lastly, sir, if you could just talk about FinFlux, your the algorithm-based underwriting, how has that been going?
So FinFlux essentially is a loan management system. So there are certain, you know, obviously it's the backbone of what we do from a loan management standpoint. I don't think I would like to talk too much about any kind of algo lending because that is not the focus of the company. But essentially that is the heart of the processing of at the back end of what we do in our lending business, and it's going well so far.
Okay, and so lastly, I believe earlier you were you even talked about money rabbit in the previous quarter. So what has that been as per the new RBI guidelines? Any update there?
So no update over there. We have spoken about it on the previous quarter's call as well, that as of now money rabbit has been put on hold. The reason being that the focus predominantly of the company is to make sure that the NBFC scales in a much larger way. So the biggest focus for all of us at TrueCap is to scale in the gold loan and the MSME business loan product, and to serve as partners in lending as a service for large financiers and to make the book much bigger. We will relook at Money Rabbit and some of the other digital platforms that are in our kitty at a later time when we feel the environment is more conducive.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone who has a question may enter star and one on their touchtone telephone. As there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand the floor back to the management for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, everyone, for joining our call. We look forward to talking to everyone in January or February of next year. All the best.
Thank you. On behalf of TrueCap Finance Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.